At this time, I would like for Bruce and Jackie Campbell to come up to the platform. They are the missionaries that we are giving special recognition to today. And so here's the way we're going to do this. I've got some questions I'm going to ask you, but you're speaking to them. So I'll ask the question, but I'll let you step up to the mic and respond, and then I may give some to you too, Jackie, to answer. So anyway, and so let's do it this way. I know that there are people who know you here, but there are a number of people out here who do not know you very well. So let's begin with this. I think it's important for all of us to know when you were saved, maybe a little bit of the circumstances or how you came to a saving knowledge of Christ. Do you want to start, Bruce, or
well,
Jackie?
Okay. No, I'll go ahead and start. But before I start doing that, we have a limited number of nails. We have a sanctuary that doesn't have a floor over in Finland right now. These are the nails that came from that floor. And so we would like you to pray that the floor would be, wait for it, finished.
Wow. You're so profound. I'm telling you. Put that right there.
Many years ago, a man came and wanted to do a youth ministry. And so he got with Grace Bible and a couple other churches and started the West Coast Youth Ranch. And so I came to faith in Christ through the ministry at the West Coast Youth Ranch. And I don't know how much longer after that, then I started coming to Grace Bible Church. The people here were so great. You know, can name names, you know, the Vestals, believe it or not, they're here today. The Henrys, and you know, so many more, the Englishes, they helped grow me. And then, unfortunately, I was only here for just a few years, and then I went off to Bible school. And I am so jealous of people that didn't go. Because this is really a great family. But even though we left, we didn't get a chance to continue our long-term relationship. Day by day, week by week, you guys have been praying for us and doing a tremendous job keeping us on the field through thick and thin. And sometimes it has been thin, sometimes it's been thick. But you guys have prayed for us, and we really appreciate that.
Okay, Jackie.
Okay. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. So I grew up in a church. I had the privilege of being in that church last Sunday, as they celebrated 175 years.
Wow.
So it was a real honor. I can't remember a time when I didn't know the Lord, because I was there every Sunday as a child. We went to Sunday school. You know, it's usually the moms that teach the Sunday school. I can't tell you which mom led me to the Lord, but I can tell you where I got saved. And so I'm really grateful for the Sunday school ministry and the church ministry. And, and I'm here today because of that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. All right. We understand your salvation, and so you're following the Lord. At some point, you responded, however you want to put this, to a call to missions or the burden for missions. At some point, you ended up becoming missionaries and going to a foreign field. Okay, let's just what about the call or the burden for missions? I'll say full-time. I mean, we're all full-time Christians, but you know what I mean, career missions. Tell us how you ended up. What did God use, or maybe there were certain people that caused you, through the Spirit of God, used to burden your heart to give your lives for missions?
Okay. I'm not a completely firm believer in the call, because I think everybody's called. However, as I was sitting in the pews when I was in high school here, Grace Bible had a number of missionaries that came through, and of course they talked about eating rat and things like that. Then I went off to Florida Bible College, and of course they had a lot of missionaries that came and went through, and they would tell their stories. Somewhere around junior year, I was thinking, well, Lord, I'm about, you know, not too far away from graduating. What should I be doing? And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is kind of my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So in some ways, I'm not too concerned about which direction to go as long as I am trusting in the Lord. And so when I was a junior in Bible school, I said, okay, Lord, you've got to direct me. What am I going to do? And I happened to go into the library, and there was a magazine. If you ever come to Hawaii, come visit us, Honolulu Bible Church. And I thought, well, I've been a Navy brat. I've lived in Hawaii. Maybe that's what God wants me to do. I wanted to do youth work. So I go over there, start working with Honolulu Bible Church. They say, well, we got something for you to do. We want you to do a church planting project. So I started doing the church planting project. We had a church going, small church, a house church for about a year or so. Got a call from Zoning Commission, said, stop it. And because that particular area was not zoned for churches, you know, fire hazards, you know, parking, things like that. And so I came back to the Honolulu Bible Church, and I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And then I heard about something called InterCristo. It's a job board for Christians. And while I was in Hawaii, I realized, hey, I'm a minority here in Hawaii. You know, there are more Asians than there are, you know, white faces. And I'm monolingual. I should learn another language. So for whatever it's worth, I don't even remember the thought process. I started learning Chinese. And so when I signed up to get information about missions, I put down, you know, I'm interested in working with the Chinese. Of course, they say, well, what languages have you learned? And I put down Spanish. So I get, like, tons and tons of letters from South American missions and, you know, who knows what because of Spanish. But only three from that are working with Chinese people. And so I wrote to them, and it's not a very scientific method, but they wrote back, and two of them had mimeographed information that they sent me. That's, you know, that's back when you can just smell it. That was really good stuff. You really love getting mimeographed stuff. But one had a typed written, it was boilerplate, obviously. It wasn't kind of the same, but it was signed. I'm thinking, you know, okay, they took a little bit more effort, and perhaps if they take that kind of effort, then they will take care of me when I, you know, go overseas. So I came back over here and started doing deputation, visiting churches, and that's actually how I met Jackie.
My first missionary call, if you wanted to call it that, was from a pastor, but a missionary in my home church, that church in Ohio. And I wrote my first missionary letter back in 1968. A few things happened between then. I ended up teaching in Brandon, Florida, at a Christian school. Every class had a missionary. And we would, I mean, talk about those things. This missionary was a nurse. She was a Chinese nurse, actually. And she would write about doing flashlights, you know, for surgeries and boiling instruments over fires. And I thought, you know, it's really great to pray for your missionaries, and I cannot thank you enough for your prayers. This is vital. This is vital. But it was like the Lord was saying, now it's time for you to be one of these. And so again, I wrote, but again, nobody answered. It was really strange. And so I agreed to teach one more year, and that was the year I met Bruce. So he already had the board, he already had the field, and the Lord is just good, and he really does direct, and I'm grateful.
Okay. Okay, Bruce, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Okay, my understanding is, just what I know, you ended up going over to China, but you got kicked out. Why?
Okay, well, first we were in Hong Kong for about 8 years.
I'm going to say 11, because we went in 86 and we went to China in 97.
Okay, 11 years. And we did church planting there, of course, language study, Cantonese. We started learning the hardest language in the world first, which, by the way, we're now going to Finland, which is not quite so hard. They have an alphabet. They have spaces between words. So from Hong Kong, China was starting to open up. And one thing that over the years we've discovered about China is it goes through cycles. So sometimes it closes, and it's like impossible to get in, and then it starts opening up again. And so originally I wanted to work with the Han Chinese, you know, the Mandarin-speaking Chinese. And so China opened up for us to go in there, so we did. And we were there for about 4 years. We got associated with the university in Shaoguan. And so they would ask us to provide for them some teachers. So although we were in China for 4 years, we were able to provide teachers for them for 6 years. And 1 year before we actually moved there, and 1 year after we actually got kicked out. There's many different reasons for the start of this, but I think we were persecuted for what we were doing for Christ. But probably the trigger point was there was a war going on over in Yugoslavia. And so I would look at the news and say, okay, well, that's way over there. That's not going to affect us at all, until the U.S. dropped a bomb on the Chinese embassy in Yugoslavia by accident. And China didn't believe it was an accident. And so a little while later, I was teaching at a high school, and the school really liked me to do that. And then I got invited to come down to the conference room, and when I went in there, there are all these policemen going, I'm in trouble. And so they gave us 10 days to leave China, which we did. And
tell them about Tim.
Oh, okay. Well, you can tell them about Tim. That's a better story. So anyway, yes, I got arrested. We did try to go back in again later to a different port, but China had, at that time, had now computerized everything. So she went through customs, and I'm at the desk for customs, and they say, oh, Mr. Campbell, will you please stand over here? And they invited me to stay at the police hotel, really a hotel, overnight, as they figured out what to do with me, because in their eyes, I was in their country illegally. Even though I had gotten a visa, the visa was no good anymore.
I just want to tell him one thing that came as a result of being thrown out. Right, I was not in Hong Kong when he got arrested. I mean, I was not in China. I was in Hong Kong renewing my visa. And right before we went there, our neighbor, who spent a lot of time at our house, was a friend of our daughter's, I asked her what we could do to pray for her, and she said, pray for my mom and dad. I want them to become Christians. And I said, well, we got a team coming this summer. I'll make sure they spend a lot of time there. And, of course, that... it just never happened. We went back, and her dad was the first one to come to our house because he knew we were being thrown out. And he said, I'm afraid if I don't become a Christian now, I'll never become one. And so you're thinking, wow, that was worth it, you know, to see this. And he went on to do ministries that we weren't able to stay and do. So God is good.
We have just a few minutes. Let me ask you, okay, when you go to a country like Thailand or, say, Finland, what are you trying to do? What is the emphasis? What is
What is our ministry?
What is your ministry, right? And how do you accomplish that? So what are you trying to do? When a missionary goes to a field, what is it that you're trying to do?
Okay. When a missionary goes to the field, generally they have to learn the language. So that's one of the unfortunate things that we have to do. I don't really learn very well. When we took language tests, they gave us attributes of animals. So I'm the turtle. But what we do, I feel that God wants us to do, is to make disciples. Evangelize, of course, you need to evangelize, otherwise you don't have anybody to teach. But we also, the main thing is to make disciples, to teach them how to teach others who can teach others, 2 Timothy 2:2. And, you know, our hope is that it can go to the fourth generation. And so that is one of the things that we have really striven to do in all the different places that we've been at. It's amazing. You know, for instance, we didn't plan on doing it in China. Well, I mean, we didn't plan that particular thing in China. But Tim, who would be like Generation 2, we're Generation 1. Tim is Generation 2. He's the one that Jackie was talking about. He went on to be the youth director for that church, the open church in China. And so he would continue that. And so there are probably even more generations going on, just an example of what we were doing. When we were in Thailand, we did the same thing. We had Buddhist students, and the school, the university, wanted them to practice English. So they required them to go to our Christian outreach center. And so what would we do? Well, we taught the gospel, of course. We gave them biblical stories, and we would basically disciple them with 5 questions. What does the story, basically, what did you like about the story? That's the first question. What was hard to understand? Third question, what does it say about people? What does it say about God? And then what should you do, or what should we do because of this story? And almost all the stories in the Bible, there are at least 2 things. One is that you need to believe in Christ as your personal Savior. You can't have salvation, you know, working on your own. And the other thing is, if you are a believer, then you need to give your life to Christ and tell other people about him.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, we're wrapping it up here. Any specific need right now or something? Oh, she's nodding right away. So,
all right, you do that.
Okay, and that way we will know how to be praying for you as you continue to serve.
We fly back to Finland a month from today, 17th of November, but at this point we don't have a visa to stay. So we'll be there only for 3 months, unless, you know, the Lord provides a job during those 3 months. We'll have to leave so we can be 3 months in, 3 months out, 3 months in, 3 months. It's not ideal. That's what we have now, so we'll take it. But what we need is an A visa. It's a visa that allows us to work and live and build up our 5 years, which sort of gives you residency. So that's our goal. So pray for our visa. That would be
great.
Really big.
Okay,
Thank you.
All right, we'll let you be seated. Well, before I turn it back to Celeste, and let me just share with you a couple of thoughts. I'm going to key it right off of what he just said. Notice I asked him the question. Now, when you go over as a missionary, I mean, what do you do? How do you do it? And he said, well, it's we've got to make disciples. So let me show you the verse that he just referred to. I'm going to show you the passage because it's exactly what all of us are supposed to be doing right here. Turn to Matthew 28. He gave me a perfect lead-in to this. I can tell you that Bruce and Jackie Campbell are doing exactly what Jesus said to do just before he went back to heaven. Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. And remember, he's already died. He's been resurrected. He now is giving his final command to all of us at Grace Bible Church. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples," there it is, that's what he just said, "of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," that's the triunity of God, "teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age." What he said was, and this is called the Great Commission. A commission is something which is entrusted to someone else to do. Jesus said, "I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to entrust this to you. I want you to do three things. I want you to evangelize." That's the word to make disciples. "I want you to evangelize. I want you to baptize. And I want you to catechize." Evangelize. That's where he said, make disciples. That's evangelism. Then he said, the ones that you disciple, I want you to baptize them. That's their public profession of faith. That's how you made a profession of faith in the first century. In fact, in all centuries. After you're saved, you should be baptized in water. And he said, then I want you to teach them all the things I've commanded you. And the word teach is the word catechize. Did you ever have a catechism class or somebody talk about catechism? That's a teaching class. So we are to be evangelize, baptize, and catechize. That's what missionaries do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's what this is all about.